Hi, it's Tim Dre, president of the Illinois AFL-CIO. Thank you for listening to The Worker's Mic, supported by the Illinois AFL-CIO, fighting every day for working families. Visit ilafl-cio.org today. Enjoy the show, and remember, it's better in a union.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to The Worker's Mic right here on 720 WGN, powered by the National Coalition of Labor. I'm Ken Edwards with the NCL. Sitting to my right is Ed Maher with the NCL. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Ken.
How are you?
Great.
Yeah?
Better than my bracket.
Well, that was going to be my first topic. Phil Davidson, Mid-America Carpenters Regional Council. Phil, how's your bracket?
Good morning. Same boat. I'm depressed after the first game. Yeah.
I literally lost the ability to have a perfect bracket after game one.
Yeah, lost the first one, huh?
And you know, by the way, just for the record, who is in first place in our pool, meaning the pool that I'm running, which is called Ken's FNCAA pool. Not a particularly original name, but that's the
You're
name.
You're just warning them before they get in.
Yeah.
Is that the same name for your football pool?
Every single one of my pools is named the same thing. It's not very original.
At least you're consistent.
But you know who's in first place? Ed wears Depends.
Ken's son likes to make fun of me with the names.
He's your troll.
He is my troll, whatever. I'll get him someday.
But on day one, and this has nothing to do with workers, except that college basketball players are workers.
They are. They try to organize it.
I know. There you go. Yeah, that's a thing of the past.
Yeah.
On day one, he literally lost one game. It was crazy. It was like unbelievable.
Nobody picked McNeese.
He did.
He got it.
He did. Yeah. It's really weird.
I'm going to try to set a record. I think I'm in five pools, and I think I'll probably finish last in all five pools somehow.
That's amazing. Think?
Yeah.
You know what? You should get a...
And they're all different picks, too.
Oh, I like it. Yeah. And you still managed to lose five times.
I'll figure it out.
All right, fair enough.
He thought the team with the little 16, like the higher number, the better the team.
Wait, that's not how it works?
Sorry, yeah. Well,
no wonder why.
Let's sit down.
So, what do we got? We have a packed show today. We have
Joel Pagos
from, he's the president of your union, Phil, the Carpenters.
Yes.
Right?
Joel's the man.
Yeah, really, really.
Listeners are in for a treat, for sure.
Yeah, you're gonna be interested to hear his story. You're really going to be interested. I'm stoked to hear it, but just a good dude. So, we got him. And then what do we got just on the top? Like Utah, right? We were talking about Utah and how they...
What they do now?
They gutted their collective bargaining rights, right? They didn't outlaw unions.
Right.
Right? They said, oh, no, unions are fine. Right?
It's just illegal for any municipality to recognize a union.
And bargain with it.
Right. So you can have a union, the union just can't do anything.
Right.
So there's a group that's come up in Utah that... they are starting a petition drive. They have to get, I think, 150,000 or 140,000 signatures by the middle of next month in order to get a question on the ballot in the 2026 election to put this to the popular vote, to just let voters go and decide whether this should be repealed or upheld. Going the ballot mode is hard because it takes a lot of signatures.
Yes.
The paperwork is complicated. If you mess it up, it
Byzantine.
Yeah, and if you mess it up, if you check the wrong box, whatever, all the signatures are done. So they've got to get it right. They don't have a lot of time. And unfortunately, as we always say, you can get this through, and then the legislature next year will just pass the law again.
Yeah. But you know what? I hope they get it. Hopefully there's enough union members in there that will carry the signatures. But like, you know, what happened with Missouri, you know, beating it back, and all of a sudden you have people like Josh Hawley saying, you know what? I'm listening to constituents. I'm now against right to work. So I hope they get it. It's a tough lift, but we'll report back on that. I think it's a good idea. You know, people have to stand up and fight back.
Yep.
Let's put it up to the people.
Yeah.
Right. Let's see if it's truly a representative government or it's a government that is just taking care of big business.
And Utah per capita has one of the highest percentages of Mormons and Medicaid users in the country.
Is that right?
Oh yeah, they're a big draw.
I didn't know that.
Yep.
So we got to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back with Joel Pagos from the Carpenters right here on 720 WGN, The Worker's Mic.
You're listening to The Worker's Mic, powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, and Voya Financial.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Worker's Mic right here on 720 WGN, powered by the National Coalition of Labor. We talked at the top of the hour that we have a special guest. Phil, why don't you introduce the guest, given that it's your world?
Yes, it is my distinct honor to welcome a special guest in the studio, the president of the Mid-America Carpenters Regional Council, Joel Pagos. Welcome, Joel.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks for coming in. So you are you're the president, and that's different than the EST, correct?
Absolutely.
What's the difference?
EST is in charge of everything. I'm number two under him.
Got it. Yeah. And you're on staff, right?
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah. How long have you been a carpenter?
I've been a carpenter. I just completed my 32nd year.
Nice. Excellent. How long have you been on staff?
I've been on staff for 23 years.
Woo.
Before president, he was the organizing director.
Yep.
So, oh, is that right?
Yeah. Joel's been in the trenches.
Yeah. Organizing is not an easy gig, huh?
Yeah. I started out as an organizer, and then when times got really slow around here, I actually was laid off from our council.
Uh-huh.
And then I was hired immediately by the International, and I spent 2 years on the road all over the United States organizing.
Really?
So I learned quite a bit. Got a chance to come back here, be the organizing director, was the vice president, and now I'm the president.
A lot of road miles, huh?
Absolutely.
Yeah, a lot of windshield time.
You've seen it all.
We, Ed and I know that feeling pretty well lately, huh?
Yeah, my Audible account is really active.
I sometimes drive in complete silence.
There's something wrong with you. There's no normal people, I think, that do that.
The other day.
What are you thinking about in that silence?
You don't want to know, Phil.
I would love to tell you, Phil.
He's thinking about organizing.
But exactly right. But the other day, Phil, I took out my, like, I have a Chrysler 300. It was like my, like, midlife crisis car.
Yeah.
And so I drove it down to wherever. And I'm like, you know what? Let me see how this thing goes. And so I just kicked it up to like 111.
Does it have a Hemi?
I don't think so. Okay. I don't think it does. But anyway, knock on wood. I'm here with no ticket.
You made it.
Yeah, I made it.
If there's any police officers listening, he's just kidding about that story.
I just admitted to a crime.
They bust you in here. Yeah. Gotcha for speeding.
All right, so listen, we want to get into something serious.
Yeah,
right?
Joel's family just went through a pretty harrowing experience involving his son, and who was hospitalized for several weeks. And I think Joel wants to talk about just what the union was able to provide with union benefits to take care of his son, who thankfully is going to be okay now. But obviously, a situation like that without good health insurance benefits can devastate a family. So, Joel, tell us a little bit about what happened and how it all came together and the happy ending here.
My son, about 3 weeks ago, came down with pneumonia.
Okay.
Happened, go to the doctor, take some antibiotics, get better. Well, that didn't quite happen. We ended up in the emergency room, gave us some more antibiotics, went home. That didn't work. Ended up coming back again, get admitted to the hospital, and then just everything imploded and moved incredibly fast. Before too long, within a couple days, my son was laying in a bed with tubes all over him on life support.
Oh, my gosh.
Fighting for his life. Now, I'm going to clarify, I have a 24-year-old son with Down syndrome.
Got it.
Which makes it even harder, as this was going on, for him to understand why we're poking him every second.
Sure.
Trying to find out what's wrong.
Yep.
Trying to, you can't eat, you can't drink, we're stubbing tubes up your nose.
Right.
So the whole thing escalated ridiculous, and he was on life support for 8 days.
Oh my gosh.
To be honest with you, I didn't think he was coming home.
Really?
Yeah, he was on the critical list.
Where was this?
This was at Northwestern in McHenry. And luckily, with the grace of God, but I got to clarify this as well, the health workers, the nurses, the doctors.
Yeah, I was about to ask. Like, how was
that? Absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, we screamed at people. I yelled at people. I cried on people.
Sure.
They were nothing short of amazing. Me and my wife never left the hospital. We took turns maybe to get out of there, but you find places to crawl into a hole and try to get some sleep and worry about what's going on. He came back. Unbelievably, then he had some problems with his heart. We moved to the cardiac floor. We're there for 3 days. Eventually, they said, okay, it's time to get him home.
Yeah.
That was 18 days later.
Wow.
I can tell you hell exists because I was there.
18 days of that.
18 days.
How long on a ventilator?
8 days on the ventilator.
And they say hard to come back from.
Did they say, like, what caused it? Like, how this happened?
He was in a store somewhere, and somebody sneezed or something, him. And something went into the air, and he was the unlucky person that it landed on.
Pneumonia can morph. Like, you can have pneumonia one day, and it can just take a terrible turn. It's one of those things, I think, that happens.
It's not like it's not like walking pneumonia. This is regular pneumonia, which is dangerous.
And it turned it turned into double pneumonia, and he's a special Olympic athlete, and
that's cool.
He's taken care of, and perfect diet, perfect everything, healthy. Uh-huh. And that's the reason why he was able to make it through this, because he was healthy. That's why he got back. Now he's home now and he's doing well.
Mm-hmm.
Still have some issues we're dealing with, but slowly those should move their way out. One of the major things is going through this is that I didn't have to worry about that still pops in your head is, okay, I need my son to get better. How the hell am I going to pay for this?
Right.
Okay, what is happening every time I walk in that room? The bill is going. Doctors, sure. Every day, different doctors, this doctor, this blood test, yeah. All the different things that happen.
The meter's on.
You have to wonder, how am I going to pay for this? Am I going to lose everything that I have to pay for this hospital bill?
Right.
Well, through that time, I knew that I wasn't. I knew that my insurance was going to take care of everything. And this is what is so hard to tell workers out there, that you don't understand this till it happens.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You do not understand that it happened. The way our insurance works is it's a $300 deductible.
Yep.
Then it's after that, it's 80-20 up to $2,000. And once $2,300 is paid out of my pocket, it's all covered.
So through the fund, through the Carpenter's Fund.
$2,300.
Yes.
For the family.
For individual.
Got it.
Individual.
So that was, your son was the individual.
Yep, he's the individual.
$2,300 worth of bills that came out of pocket from you.
From me.
After that, everything's covered 100%.
Everything's covered.
So you literally know that that's one less thing that you have to worry about.
Right.
You can focus on your son's health, your family. Mm-hmm. You don't have to worry about, you know, getting a second job, losing your house, going into debt. Right, all of those kind of things. You know, walking in there, that your max exposure is $2,300.
Yep.
And what do you think? Like, do you have any idea what the actual bills were?
Yeah, I'm going to tell you exactly what the bills were.
Oh, boy. So okay.
The hospital bill comes in, and this is just the hospital bill. This is not doctor's bills, blood tests, different types of tests.
Right.
This is just the hospital bill, $278,000. Now, because we belong to a large union, and we're able to collective bargain, and we have Blue Cross Blue Shield we bargained with, that 278 got knocked down to 78,000.
Mm-hmm.
Of that 78,000, I owed zero.
Let's go back a quick second. I want to make it clear as to, you know, yet again, what one of the many, many, and I mean many, benefits of being in a union and also in a consortium of unions, right? Because we got that deal, and I say we. This was you guys, the carpenters, Local 150, the operators, electricians. I believe the laborers were involved with it as well. We negotiated directly with Blue Cross a few years ago and said, if your retail price is this, this is the rates that we want. And we did that as a group. It's strength in numbers. It's the same concept as being in the union. Any other numbers?
Not yet.
No, they start. Yeah. They trickle in. And you know, everyone I get from the doctor, zero. Doctor zero. And we have more. We have multiple. We have to make sure everything's clear. Is the lungs clear? Is your heart working well? So there's more bills coming in. They're all zero.
And then you're going back.
Yep.
Right? So you're going, you know, always back for checkups.
Yep. All these checkups are coming back.
Right.
And we're going back and back and back. Probably a year to make sure all the body is functioning correctly as all this liquid and all these different things leave from his body. And this, for the rest of the year, is all zero. I don't have to worry about it. When we go out and talk to workers all the time, this is so important that you just want to put your arm around them and say, listen, until this happens to you, you don't understand what you need and what you're telling me, how great your life is and everything. In an instant, life changes.
Yeah, it turns upside down.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
In an instant.
Right. And so people that talk about, you know, well, I don't have to pay union dues, you know, and even though I might make a little bit less, I still don't have to pay those exorbitant union dues, which are not exorbitant at all.
I save that $50 a month
right.
for not paying union dues.
And, you know, cost-benefit analysis is I'd rather have the comfort of knowing that, you know, in your situation, I have $2,300 to pay for a devastating, you know, set of circumstances, and that's it. So I can now concentrate on, you know, my family, you know, my mental health, your wife's mental health, you know, all that kind of stuff. That alone is worth its weight in gold.
Yep, absolutely.
Well, when you're going through something like this, I mean, the thought crosses your mind, as you said, and the very idea that someone's child can get sick and they can be financially ruined for that, it just doesn't make any sense. I mean, I think we're probably the only country in the developed world that really has to deal with that. But you feel for it. I mean, in that moment, I've been in not in the same position, of course, but in a position where I've found myself thinking about those people who have to make those hard decisions about, like, well, do I pay the rent this month or do I buy medicine? And, you know, we're fortunate, all of us, to be in union healthcare plans. And this should be something that nobody has to worry about. Right. But I got to say this, just for the listeners, and another benefit of these large union healthcare plans is how much was borne by taxpayers? How much of this was covered by, you know, social safety net programs? Nothing.
Zero.
This is the union taking care of its members and taking the burden off of taxpayers.
Good, that's a really good point. Yeah. Because you'll have some schmuck out there will go, oh, yeah, well, how much did we pay for, you
right.
know, for that?
Of course.
You know how much you paid for that? Nothing. We paid for it. We paid for all of it, right, with our hard work, our sweat, and, you know, our blood, sweat, and
people looking out for each other.
Blood, sweat, and no tears. That's what I like to say.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tears are okay. It's 2025.
You know. We're men. Says
men
union.
Are back.
Says union proud warriors.
That's right.
And to your point, it has to be explained to a lot of people that every year we get a raise from the contractors. Mm-hmm. We sit down and figure out where the money needs to go, how much we need in health care, how much we need in a pension, how much we need to put on a check. And we take care of it.
Right.
Our money.
Right.
We're not taking it from anybody else.
Right.
We're not we taking take it from care anybody. Of ourselves.
Yes. We're self-sufficient.
Yep.
And by the way, if everybody was self-sufficient, then we wouldn't have to worry about these social safety nets, et cetera. Yeah. But you know what? That's life. You know, it is what it is. It's why we pay taxes. And, you know, now with the conversation about gutting Medicare and Social Security and all that kind of stuff, like, hey, listen, we all paid into that.
Right.
And so, like you said, that when the allocation comes, the leaders, and we trust the leaders of the union to say, hey, listen, our health and welfare fund needs blank number of dollars, so we're going to move some money over there. Our pension needs blank number of dollars, we're going to move some money there. When years are good and the market's up, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you know what? Let's put some more money on the check. So the union decides how to divvy this package up. And I would always tell my members, health insurance is more important than cash.
Yes,
I agree. Mean, it really is.
It just is. You know, if I had my druthers, I'd rather have free health insurance, a great plan, a low deductible like you're talking about, than an extra $1.50 on my check.
It's hard to explain that to the younger workers out there because they don't get it. They just want to look at what's on their check.
Yeah, but they're invincible.
Right. Certainly when you start talking to the guys in their 40s or 50s, they're like, oh, yeah, it's all about health insurance. But you just got to get to them and explain what they're missing out on. And
thank you for sharing this.
Nothing better illustrates that.
I know it's not an easy thing to talk about, you know?
No, but it needs to be heard. The story needs to be told. I tell it everywhere I go. Mm-hmm. He's there.
Yeah.
He's alive.
Yeah.
Things are good, and I'm not going to lose my house, not going to lose my car. My finances are fine because I belong to a union, because I had union insurance.
Yeah.
It's that simple.
Yeah. And the care you got was good?
Like amazing.
Yeah.
Absolutely amazing.
Yeah. And so shout out to those folks,
yes.
huh?
Yes, they did a fantastic job.
You know, and once again, another industry like, oh, you know, these overpaid doctors or, you know, high-paid nurses. Look at this nurse. She's making over $100,000. Guess what? I want her to make over $100,000. Yeah. Like, I want her to make as much money as humanly possible.
You don't want healthcare people out working a second job late at night.
No.
Coming driving, tired.
Driving Uber.
Yeah, no. Right?
They did an amazing job. You know, I'm a take control type of guy, and I was ready to take control of that hospital and that floor and everything. And I had nurses put me in my place. Tell me when I had to leave. Tell me, it's time for you to go. And
you must have been an absolute nightmare to deal with.
Oh, yeah. But they put me in my
understandably
place.
Understandably so.
I
You know what I mean? And
not their first time.
Hey Joel, I absolutely understand because I'm the same. I'm that type A. Like, all right, this is what we're going to do. I want you to do this surgery right now, and then I need to be out of here by 3 o'clock because I have a meeting. Yeah. You know, or something like that.
You don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, sit down, shut up.
Northwestern is a great hospital. There are neighbors here from our studio. Shout out to them. They do great work.
Fantastic.
Hey, will you stick around for one more segment?
Absolutely.
All right,
love
listen,
to be here.
Yeah, we're stoked.
Yeah, we'll be back with more of Joel Pagost from the Mid-America Carpenters Regional Council here on 720 WGN, The Workers' Mic.
You're listening to The Workers' Mic, powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, and Voya Financial.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN, powered by the National Coalition of Labor. Ken, Ed, Phil, Joel. Joel, thanks for sticking around. We got into something that I think bears more discussion. And we want to try and drill down on this a little bit, and that is the fact that we, meaning the unions, are self-funded. We don't take money from government programs. We're not taking money from Medicare or Social Security or Medicaid. So talk about that. Explain the difference, Joel.
Well, yeah, so every time a contract comes up, the union negotiates with our contractors.
Right.
Okay, we go back and forth. They want something, we want something, and we negotiate an amount of money for the year. When that is done, that is taken back to the leadership, and we decide where that money needs to be allocated.
Got it.
Now, that money comes from carpenters going to work, getting paid.
Right.
And dues money coming back.
Right.
Okay? That gets funded that way. From there, we take it to the delegate body, and it gets approved.
Got it.
So the members are approving where we put the allocation.
Let's just stop there for a second. You take it to the members,
mm-hmm.
right? The members have a say in this.
Yes.
The members have the final say in this.
Yes.
So if everybody listening out there that thinks this is some sort of top-down, we're going to tell you, here's your contract, see you in 3 years.
Take it
nonsense,
or leave it.
Take it or leave it, blah, blah, blah. The union is the members, and the members vote on the allocation of money, whether to accept a contract.
Absolutely.
And that's important. It's a democracy.
Yep. And the most important thing is you know, we have to do our due diligence. We have to make sure that we put the money in that the health fund requires.
Right.
That the pension fund requires. Mm-hmm. Things for safety. Make sure our schools run correctly.
Right.
All that money comes out of the allocations that comes from our carpenters going to work every day.
Right.
And we need to make sure that we don't ever screw that up. That's our responsibility to tell them this is what's needed in there to make sure the lives that we live right now stay the same.
Mm-hmm. And so that's why you have leadership. To be blunt with you, look, unions are very large organizations with a lot of resources. We have lawyers, we have actuaries, we have health insurance experts, right? We have people that tell us all of these kind of things, like, this is where this is trending. We have financial planners, right? Like, we have people, it's not like we're going like, oh, we think this $2 will do for the next 2 years. We actually know what we're talking about and make sure that, you know, we're funded well enough to take care of a situation like you had.
Yes.
And then I'll say another thing, and that is, the carpenters, the operators, the electricians, unions around the country now are opening their own doctor's offices.
Right.
And what does that mean?
Which brings down the costs.
Brings down the costs, exactly. We own the doctor's offices. And people just can't get their mind around this. Like, when we had Premise Health on, people like, healthcare is killing this country. Insurance companies are killing this country. Blah, 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 blah. I'm like, yeah, right. We don't disagree with that. That's why we decided to open our own.
We got our own.
Mm-hmm. Right? And just recently, you guys opened one in Kansas City. I was there. I saw it. It was absolutely it's beautiful. So,
and nobody pays. There's no bill. Again, yeah. I mean, it's free to the members.
I should have said that. It's free.
Yeah.
Free. It's a good price.
$3.99.
$3.99. But Joel, I had one of your guys and his wife call me. He was just got hurt, and he's a young kid, 34. And so, you know, they immediately, like, they had the disability that we offer. So he was thankful for that. He's like, how do I get this going, et cetera. And they started just talking, like, where are you out of? Oh, I'm out of Kansas City. I'm like, well, have you been to the health center? He's like, yeah, actually, we went there once so far. I'm like, okay, here's the deal. You want to get in and see a doctor quickly? You want to get back to work quick, right? You don't want to wait 2 or 3 weeks for an appointment? Go to the health center, have them refer you, and you'll be in to see a doctor within 2 or 3 days, right? And then you'll get your care quicker, and you'll have somebody overseeing your care, the doctor of the health center. And what does that mean? That means, A, you're in trusted hands, B, you're not paying for it, and C, you're going to get back to work quicker, right?
Yes.
Money back in your pocket. So financially, it's in everybody's best interest. And like you said, Phil, for the unions, look, I know this because we partner, I say we, the coalition, the National Coalition of Labor has, Midwest Coalition of Labor, I think is what we call our health clinics, right?
Yeah, still MCL Health.
But we partner with the carpenters and the operators and Teamsters and the electricians. But we've now have enough sort of years of service under our belts to say, like, hey, we caught blank number of early heart diseases,
right?
High blood pressure, early diabetes, manage those. And so controlling them brings down the cost of...
That's where the real costs are.
Of course it is, right?
Yeah.
And so what does that do for our health and welfare funds? It makes them more solvent.
Yep.
Right?
And there's always going to be catastrophes like Joel's case with his son. But in most cases, you know, if you find those high-risk patients early, you can really lower the cost significantly.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, you know, back to your point, Joel, which is... us, you know, this whole, obviously the talk of the day is, you know, government, what do they call it? Fraud, waste, and abuse, or right. Whatever that nonsense is, yeah. Right? That's great. Just leave us alone. Yeah. because we don't use any of it. You know what I mean? I don't even care if there's a National Labor Relations Board. I don't care if there's a Department of Labor, to be blunt with you. Just let us do our thing, right? If the playing field's even, just let us do our thing, right?
And I mean, Social Security, things like Social Security, we recognize that Social Security was never supposed to be the end-all, be-all, sole source of income in retirement. It's not enough money. And there are a lot of folks who rely on just that, but unions negotiate pensions and negotiate annuities, put, you know, more of our raises toward that instead of on a paycheck. So when it comes to retirement, when it comes to health care, we're trying to take care of ourselves because it's, you know, the government is not always going to be the answer. So getting lumped in with government when it's sort of the system has been built to avoid relying on the government for these things, you know, it's frustrating. And I think it is important that we talk about this.
And it's extremely powerful as a member to realize you can go to work, you can raise your family, and out of your check, your pension gets funded, your annuity gets funded. You don't have to sit down at the desk every week, try to figure this out and be like, well, I'd actually really rather go on vacation than fund my annuity. It's already getting funded. You don't need to do anything. Yeah. You just make sure when the statement comes in, looks good, and you let it go.
Just smile.
That's huge because it's hard for people to plan for their own retirement.
Sit down
and decide vacation, new car, retirement.
Yeah.
Retirement usually comes third or not at all.
Because it's so far away from you when you're 25 or 30 years.
You can't touch it.
For
sure. It's not tangible.
Right.
Union takes care of that.
That's right.
It keeps going in the fund. You just make sure your hours are all worked, everything's good. And when you get to be 30-year member and you're going to retire, it's there.
I can't tell you how many members I speak to on the phone that say, hey, I'm getting ready to retire, or I just retired. I'm like, happy with your benefits? Like, I retired at 57.
Yeah.
Like, thank God my union forced me to allocate a piece of my check into my annuity and my health insurance and my retirement.
That's huge.
Because now, you know, Ken, I just bought a boat.
Yeah, calling you
I'm
from
fishing.
Their boat. Yeah,
I'm not kidding. Yeah, and they're happy. Those are the happiest people. You know, and then I'll talk to other members. They're like, how old are you? I'm 67. Why are you still working? I don't want to stay home with the wife. Like, okay, fair enough. That I get.
Or they got divorced too many times.
Yeah. Or they split up that pension.
We had a member that got divorced or got married, I think, 9 times. And he had the same woman in there twice. She was like his 6th wife and his 8th wife.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah, you know, everybody deserves a second chance, I guess.
Right. So Elon Musk, doesn't he have like 35 wives?
I think it's 35 kids.
Oh, 35 kids.
Yeah.
How many of them are Martians?
I don't know. I haven't gotten the results.
Judging by their names, all of them.
That's a good point.
I don't know.
Don't name your kids math problems, folks out there listening. It's just going to cause them problems.
That's funny. So, all right. So, anyway, we get that out of the way. That like is like one of our union myths. So, like, somehow unions, you know, are a drain on society when it's just the exact opposite, right?
Helping society.
Yeah, right. Trying not to take
it. Yeah, taking the burden off.
Exactly.
So. And then let's just briefly, right? Carpenters, you guys are doing what I consider a smart move, and that is consolidation. Tell us just a little bit about that.
Yeah, so mergers are things that have to happen. It's the way of the future. It has to be done for unions to survive, to consolidate. Also, if you think about a healthcare or a pension plan, the more that's in it, the better rates you get.
For sure.
The less people charge you.
Right.
The more negotiation power we can have, the better benefits we can get.
Everybody hear that? Economies of scale. It is the exact concept of the National Coalition of Labor.
Yep.
That's our concept. So, for example, when I first met you guys, what was it, Chicago
Regional Council of Carpenters.
Okay. And that has changed to the Mid-America Carpenters Regional Council.
Correct.
And that's then subsumed Kansas City and St. Louis?
Yes.
Both of which had their own separate health and welfare funds.
Yes.
Yeah.
And those
all
are in the process.
All of Missouri and Kansas.
Yep.
Those are in the process. Okay, all of Missouri and Kansas, right? So, sorry. And those are in the process of being merged into one.
Yes.
And that then will get you guys the economies of scale that you're talking about, right? More numbers, more members, better rates on, you know, our network, you know, whatever it is.
That's going to be a serious pension plan, right?
If you sat down,
don't mess around with that pension plan.
Yeah, if you sat down and looked at what advisors to a pension fund get to manage our money, it's astronomical.
Is it really?
It's astronomical.
Yeah. Ed, I sense our second business.
Yeah. Does anybody have any extra money they'd like to invest in Edcoin?
Edcoin.
Yeah, I'm not giving up on Edcoin. If the Hawk Tua girl can do it, so can I.
Well, listen, Trump's got it. Like, every day he's got a new coin, doesn't he?
Yeah. And the only one getting rich off that is him.
Right. Yeah. Hey, listen, I'm watching my 401k. I'm like, wow, what happened to that money? Where'd that go?
It's been a rough couple of weeks.
Boy, has it ever. Yep. But yeah, you know, so you're right. And so, you know, like, more money makes more money.
Right.
It's like, I hate to say it, but it's simple math, yeah. Right? If you have $1 billion and you're getting 5%, it's 5% of $1 billion. And the year after that, it's 5.0001% because it's compounded, right?
Yeah.
But if you have $5 billion in there, that 5% becomes, you know, whatever the number is, right? And the math gets bigger and compounded. And so that's the name of the game.
And we use it to secure work as well, right? Because then we can go to any corporation that we are investors in because we've got this giant pension fund and say, hey, we noticed that your last bank branch was built non-union. We want to maybe talk, considering, you know, we have tens of millions of dollars in shares, and all of a sudden some of those jobs get turned around. So that's really what it's about doing. It's about creating work.
And you want to look at it as do you want the advisor to tell you how much you're going to pay, or do you want to tell the advisor, hey, this is how much we're going to pay?
If you want the business, this is what we're going to pay you.
Yeah.
Want it, take it or leave it.
That's interesting. Yeah, I guess I wouldn't have thought of that. So that makes sense to me. Do you sit on the boards? Do you sit on these boards?
I do sit on some of the boards, yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
How old are you?
I'm going to be 57.
And how much longer do you think you're going to go?
I'm going to go
forever.
As long as they'll keep me
forever.
Here.
Yeah. Don't take Joel away from me.
It's a passion.
Okay, Phil.
Although I could be one of those guys that calls you and be like, hey, I retired at 59.
Yeah, right. From his boat.
Listen, when I asked my boss, Jim Sweeney, I'm like, hey, do you mind if I retire a little bit earlier than I was planning on?
Please, yes.
So I can take over the coalition thing, because I'm really enjoying the coalition, but I can't do that plus my job. And he's like, wait a second, I can get you off the payroll?
Yeah.
I'm like, hey,
there's
he's
the
like,
door.
Okay, goodbye. See you later. I was like, wow. Are you sure?
There won't be this plethora of workplace distractions around here anymore.
Lawsuits.
Yeah.
Angry people.
Death metal playing at like 100% volume in the middle of the afternoon.
I couldn't get rid of me quick enough. But whatever. I digress.
I accept your recommendation.
Yeah. Listen, thank you so much for coming in. It's interesting to hear this perspective. Let me ask you one last question, all right?
Sure.
Do you think that there's a world in which some of the building trades start to consolidate?
That's a tough question.
Look, like Ed and I have been out, you know, and here's part of the reason I'm asking. Ed and I, you know, love the roofers, love them to death. But when we go out to Indiana, for example, you know, or painters, it's the same. You know, very, very, very small locals, like locals of 100 people, 200 people. You know, it's hard to, in my opinion anyway.
You're missing the economy of scale.
Have that, you know, the resources to hire business agents, lawyers, things like that. I mean, do you think there's a world in which this starts to be some consolidation?
Well, without getting myself in any type of trouble.
Fair enough.
I don't know that there's anything you can say without getting in some kind of trouble here.
There's been conversations, right?
Maybe? There's conversations, yeah. But what I really wish would happen is I really wish we'd stop fighting with each other.
Yeah, that's a great point.
We're not each other's enemies.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And we spend a lot of money and a lot of time arguing with each other while the world around us keeps going on.
And from your lips to God's ears, as they say, and I'll say this, Ed and I will go to a building trades meeting in West Virginia, and I make a joke. As soon as I get there, I'm like, all right, who's here? I'm like, okay, where's the carpenter? Who's he sitting next to? So you guys are not fighting right now, right? So who's on this side of the room? Oh, that's the electricians. And who's over there? Oh, that's the operators. So you guys are fighting right now. Like, they laugh. I'm like, you literally need a scorecard to keep track of who's fighting with who. And like you said, and I've said this 1,000 times, we, meaning labor, will spend more money fighting over a piece of equipment on a job site than moving the ball forward for labor.
Right.
And I think I agree with you that that's a mistake. Maybe, look, we get it. There are jurisdictional fights. Maybe there's a quicker, easier way to resolve those. I don't know. But, like, you know, having these hearings and, like you said, wasting time and money. And I'm not saying it's a waste. Look, everybody's got their opinion on this. I agree with you. I think that labor would be better served if we spent our time organizing the unorganized and fighting for our members.
Absolutely.
So maybe there's a way to do it. You know, we've had a couple times where the NCL has, you know, sort of said, like, hey, you know, you guys should get together so you're not angry with each other at our next board meeting, you know, things like that.
Well, that's the thing, too. I mean, we're always in solidarity with each other. There's going to be squabbles, but at the end of the day,
it's like family fights.
We got each other.
When things
back,
get
right.
real,
right.
Yeah. show up.
It's kind of funny you say that, because I'll just a quick story of being on the roads. We go to a building trades meeting, and the building trade meeting get over with, And the painter comes out and has handbills that he's handing out to the rest of the building trades against the carpenters. Like, hello, I'm standing here. So we get a little mad. The handbills are on the table. I go over. I flip the table upside down. The papers go all over the place. The painter says, hey, don't take it personal. You're still going to lunch with us, right?
Are you joking me?
No.
No, I'm not going to lunch with you.
It's almost like it's, you know,
you actually have my name on that flyer. Yeah, I get it. I like that you flipped the table over, though.
Yeah,
I like it.
Chose to mess around.
Yeah. Joel, thank you so much for coming in. We hope that you stay at the Carpenters for quite some time. 57 is very, very young. You don't want to retire. It's really boring. And you probably want to work, you know, for another at least another 10 years, right, Phil?
At least.
Yeah, thank you.
In presidential years, he's a baby. Yes.
That's right. In officer years. So here, you want to take us out, Phil?
Yes. Thank you, Joel, for coming in. And we will be right back with more Workers' Mic here on 720 WGN.
You're listening to The Workers' Mic, powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, and Voya Financial.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN. What a good dude.
Great story. Good reminder of all the things that unions are doing to help people.
Yeah.
Joel's a great union leader.
And once again, you know, he makes a good point. I think it's something that we here at The Workers' Mic probably should stress a little more, and that is, we're self-sufficient.
Yeah.
You know, we're not asking the government for money. We're not asking them for grants.
Right.
You know, we do our own thing. Just leave us alone. Yeah. Let us do our thing.
Also, if you're non-union, look what you're missing out on.
Right. Get it. If you
look what you're missing
out on. If you have one of these plans, be proud. If you don't have one of these plans, find your way into one.
Come join us. Good. Yeah. Come join us.
There's never been a better illustration, I think, of why it's important for people to make a lot of money than this week. DoorDash said that it made a partnership with, I can't remember the name of the, it's like a payment processor.
Okay.
Where whenever you're buying like clothes online, you can, it's Klarna. That's what it's called.
Okay.
They made a partnership with Klarna where you can split up your DoorDash order into four payments.
Oof.
So you can take out a loan to get dinner. Clearly, the middle class is hurting. This makes me really sad. I don't want to, like, this isn't funny. This isn't a joke. People are, and they'll set up your payments so that they hit on your paydays.
Got it. So sometimes you'll see that on your bank statement if you have, like, an expensive purchase.
Are you joking me?
No.
So what's the juice? Like, what's the cut that this company takes?
I don't know. They just announced
the partnership. They ain't doing it for free.
Nobody does anything for free.
So no. DoorDash is like, hey, listen, you know that pizza? You should finance it.
Yeah, yes. If you can't afford this whole Chipotle bowl, we'll split it up over four payments.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, that's, if that's a symptom, if that type of thing is in need, if that's in demand, then things are probably worse than we think.
I'm seeing that everywhere now, though.
Yeah.
Like, everything is all about splitting up payments. Like, do you need to pay now? Yeah, make a down payment installment. Wow.
I think that, and we'll talk about more of this later, but, you know, there are stats coming out on, you know, car defaults.
Oh, for sure.
You know, not making mortgages and et cetera, et cetera. I think that there's a, and I don't know what you call it, a shadow economy or something that's not being reported on. People are not doing nearly as well as what I think the country is reporting.
Yeah, the stock market is not the economy.
No, absolutely not.
The stock market's in the tank, and too. So everything's bad.
Right.
Know? We have some uplifting stuff. How about, I think we have a listener of the week, don't we, Ken?
You want to hear an uplifting listener of the week?
I do.
Hit us with it.
Here we go. Elliot Mallon. And Elliot comes from Unite Here, Local 1. So Ed and I have been talking with them recently about joining the coalition. You know, we had Karen Kent on here. This got the strike going on at Northwestern University. So just a really aggressive, progressive union. I forget what he does there for a living. I should have known that before I named him as listener.
What doesn't he do, Ken?
He's in the hospitality industry.
He's a jack of all trades is what he is.
So we've been talking to them. Hopefully they'll be joining the coalition this summer, as are a ton of other unions. So more news on that to come. But in the meantime, have a safe Sunday. Watch some basketball. Enjoy. It's a great time of year. And we will see you next week right here on The Workers' Mic, 720 WGN.
The preceding episode of The Workers' Mic was powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, and Voya Financial. For additional information and podcasts of The Workers' Mic, visit WGNradio.com.